In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was and is and ever shall be. In this morning's gospel, as we are just about to begin this journey that is Great Lent, we are called to come face to face with judgment. We must face this judgment both personally and as a parish. It's something that we must remember. Judgment is something that's very easy to forget. It's very easy to put in the back of the fridge, but it's something that we need to keep always on our minds, because someday there will be an end. Someday in this history will end, and someday our lives will end. And as the Creed says, then the Lord will come and judge the living and the dead. And what we do and what we say, even what we focus about, will be brought in front of a judge. And the judge will decide. So this morning, there's two things I want to talk about. First of all, talk about what is judgment in the Orthodox Christian sense of the word. And then, how do we live with this in our own lives? So what is judgment, first of all? The word for judgment in Greek is krisis. We get the word crisis from this word, krisis. And it has three aspects about it. The first aspect is this idea of separating, of separation, of God separating good from evil, of truth from lies, of virtue from vice, from those who love God and those who do not. So the first aspect is separation. The second aspect is untangling. Untangling. You've heard the expression in the scriptures, that he will come and separate the wheat from the tares, right? The world is, because of the sin of the fall, there's a lot of entanglement in the world. Mixed up ideas, hostility, enmity, fighting, wars, injustice, all kinds of things that are, the good is intermixed with the evil. And you know what? The more that we try and separate that evil out of the good on our own, you know what happens? More evil comes, most of all. So it takes a divine wisdom and divine power to untangle the bad that is tangled up in the good. What we could do is not contribute to the problem. You know, the doctors have the Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm. What we can try and do is do no harm as Christians. You know what the word innocent means? To be innocent? The word innocent literally means to do no harm. This is what we can do in the meantime and while we wait and we prepare for the judgment. And then the third aspect of judgment is exposing. Bringing the truth out by exposing the light on it. So that in exposing that which appears even to be good, but is really evil, and to expose the lies that look like truth, so that we can know true good, and we can know the truth and separate it from the lies. So for example, many times in our lives, there may be times when we think that we are showing authentic love, but really this authentic love and our own hope, our own ways of thinking, is really masking self-love. And this also, this exposure means that when pride is masquerading as humility and self-deception is masquerading as truth, God comes and separates, and he will untangle, and he will expose. Now, when we hear the word judgment, we become afraid, and we should become afraid, but not without hope, Because our God is also merciful and he's powerful and he's a fair judge and a true judge and an accurate judge, by no means at all corrupted by any kind of pride or human desire. So we want God to be our judge, right? And this exposure and this separation and this untangling is good. It's necessary. It extinguishes what should be extinguished, and it resurrects what should be resurrected. In fact, our world needs separation and untangling and exposing, but it needs to be done by expert hands. Our world needs cleansing. Our lives need cleansing, cleansed by divine power and authority. It needs light and illumination that only God can provide so that we can discern and know where to walk and know how to walk. And that is how peace comes in our lives. Now, Orthodox Christians, since the beginning of our Orthodox faith, have in fact longed for judgment as part of their hope, as part of the glory of the second coming. They longed for relief. They longed for justice. They longed for an end of evil and idolatry and oppression. And they longed for the institution of God's kingdom, of bliss, of a life without pain and sorrow and sighing, and with life everlasting. So this is judgment, as best as I can describe. Now, how do we live? What is the standard that this judgment is based on? And it's not complicated. You know, in France, they have the law of the French. It's thousands of books on French Napoleonic law. In the Catholic Church, in their canon law, they have hundreds and hundreds of books on canon law. In the Orthodox Church, we have the councils, the seven ecumenical councils that give canons. And we have the local councils that give canons. And we have our bishop here who says how we should do things. And those things are good. But there's one standard of the judgment that our Lord will judge. And that is the love of Christ. Notice I said, I didn't have to say the love of the Father or the love of the Holy Spirit. But we only need to say the love of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, took on flesh and dwelt among us, and he is given the authority. He has the authority to judge. And he made it easy for us. He says, took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we see the standard of his love in action. We read about it in the Gospels. We read about it in the epistles. We hear about it from the church fathers. We hear about it from the liturgy. And we hear about God's love. This is the gospel, the good news, that God has come and showed us how to love and showed us the measure of how to live so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. So the love of Christ is the standard. The thing that we compare our action and our lives and our thoughts and our mindsets to, because God's love is the criterion of judgment and the basis of judgment. This is what Jesus himself said. He said that the Father gave me, that is Jesus, the authority to execute judgment because Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And it's in the Son, the Son was given flesh, and Jesus is Jesus Christ and dwelt among us so that he can love us now and in our history and in our lives. And he judges precisely because he is the Christ. And it says in the scriptures that he has come and his judgment is just because Jesus Christ doesn't do his own will, but does the will of the Father who sent him. Now, we've had a few funerals this past year. And you may notice, those who are listening, that this is also in the gospel of the funeral service. We talk about, Jesus talks about two things that are intertwined. his judgment, and that he does a Father's will, and those who do, and his resurrection. And those who do good will be resurrected to eternal life, and those who do evil will be resurrected to the life of judgment. Notice there's both, all of them are resurrected, but Jesus decides, he separates, he untangles, and he exposes, and those who live this live as best as they can to live according to God's will in this life, doing as Jesus does, they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And those who neglect and are prideful and never want to change and focus only on what their own wants are, they are separated from God because they're already separated themselves from God. So the first criterion of this standard of judgment is Jesus Christ. And the second part of this criterion is how we love our fellow human beings. When we love the least of these, Jesus says, as God has loved us, then our love for God is authentic. And if we say that we love God with our lips and with our mind powers, but we don't love those who are around us, then that love is not authentic. In fact, it's a sham, it's hypocrisy, and it's delusion. So we have the law book right in front of us. We have Jesus Christ right in front of us. And we have the standard to follow and to imitate. But let us not forget that we talk about Jesus' his philanthropy. He loves mankind. He loves all of us. And this judgment is part of that love. His judgment is part of the gospel. And we should prepare for it and long for it, because he will make all things right and all things anew. But we need to live as Christ lives, to imitate him. Now, just a conclusion. A conclusion about Lent and confession, especially. Great Lent is the time for us to take account of our lives and of our actions and even our mindsets and our thoughts and our obsessions and the things we cannot get over, and the forgiveness that we need, and the forgiveness that we need to give, and we need to be forgiven. We also are entangled in our own lives, and we need untangling. We also have things that we hide in our lives that we need to ourselves expose before God, because he knows everything about us before we can confess anything. When we confess, we're not reminding God of our sins. When we confess, we are looking at ourselves and say, that is not good. What if something's not good in our lives? That is not good. I don't want that in my life anymore. That's getting in the way. That is spoiling my soul. I want it out of my life, Lord. Please, Lord, help me to get it out of my life. We confess so that our sins can be exposed and separated and entangled, so that we can be free from pretense and illusion, and instead run to God for mercy and relief, so we can again turn to him and walk with him and imitate his love for the least of his brethren, so that our life will be and our love will be fulfilled and authentic. So judgment is coming. As the creed said, that we will read in short time, he will come to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. So let us take account of ourselves, be honest about ourselves, make an appointment to go to confession, whether it's with me or any Orthodox priest. Go and do it during this great Lent, because it's good for you and it's relieving. And one final thing, I say this and I mean this, more people go to confession in this parish than you think. So please make an appointment, if not with me, then with some Orthodox priest, and do a favor for yourself.